right, you're there in 2 Samuel chapter 1. I'm going to begin reading in verse 17. I just remind you, David has found out about the death of Saul and Jonathan. And then in verse 17, and David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan, his son. Also, he bade them teach the children of Judah the use of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher, the beauty of Israel is slain upon thy high places. How are the mighty fallen? Tell it not in Gath, publish it not in the streets of Ashkelon. Lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offerings, for there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away, the shield of Saul as though he had not been anointed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles, they were stronger than lions. Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet, with other delights, who put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thine high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How are the mighty fallen, and the weapons of war perished? Now, you can't read this without being struck by the repetition of that phrase, how are the mighty fallen? And if you just hear that, you might think, well, there's a question being asked. But you've got your Bible there. Notice what is at the very end of verse 19. It's right in the middle of verse 25. And it's right at the very end of verse 27. You see that little exclamation mark that shows up in all three places. It's not a question that's being asked. It is an exclamation being expressed by David. And it's by that phrase that David reveals the strong emotional feelings he had for both Saul and Jonathan. The Bible talks about of his love for Jonathan and the love of Jonathan for David. Verse 26 said it surpassed the love of women. Now the perverts of the world try to take that and make that a perverted love. That's wrong as wrong can be, all right? There wasn't anything perverted about it whatsoever, but those two men loved one another, all right? But it also shows the respect that David had, I believe, for the position of Saul. He had that respect. Notice in these verses, that lamentation he makes, there's not one word of condemnation. There's no rebuke. There's no expression of bitterness on the part of David. Hey, if you're Christian, you've read your Bible, you've paid attention in Sunday school when you were a kid, you know of the contention and the problems there were between Saul and David, and the envy that Saul had for David. Saul chased him, tried to kill him, but you don't see any of that in these verses. You don't see any of it anywhere, all right? Why? Because these verses, I believe, reveal the heart of a man who knew what it was to walk close to God. Knew what it was. He was a man that knew how to forgive and how to move on in life. He was a man that knew how to respect the choices and the dealings of God in the lives of people. He knew how to do it. He wasn't like the Roman, and I can't remember if it was Mark Antony or Brutus or at the death of Julius Caesar, and they came and he made this statement, I came not to praise Caesar, but to bury him. Well, that wasn't the case here. That wasn't the case here. All that David said really was in praise for these two men. You even look at it, all right? Look, if you will, in verse 23, the Bible said Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives. You could say, well, wait a minute. David talking about the same Saul that threw that javelin at him, tried to stick him to the wall? Yeah, same fella. He said, why? Well, listen, let's just take a look for a little bit. I believe there's something for us here. And I'll be honest with you, when I was studying for this lesson or this message tonight, I studied and I was reading and I thought, what am I going to say? Lord, what is there here for us? And so I just began to examine those verses. And I want you to look at verse 19. Start with, the beauty of Israel is slain upon thy high places. How are the mighty fallen? Well, they fell in high places, the Bible says, all right? Hey, who doesn't want to go out on top? Who doesn't want to go out on top? Man, very few people do, especially in the world. Most of them do not go out on top. Most sports figures do not go out on top. They wait a little bit past their prime. Now, I want to give you an illustration of that. I want to go way back, back yonder almost 60 years ago, pull out a name that maybe hardly any of you will remember. But I remember I was in looking and thinking about this. I looked and I found the picture that I'm fixing to talk to you about, and it was in 1964. And some of you say, preacher, I don't remember that because I wasn't around then. Okay, good. But, man, there was a fellow, there was a picture, and I remember seeing this picture of a football player on his knees, kind of sitting back on his feet and knees, his hands on his hands laying here on his thighs, and he's just sitting up. But, man, he's battered. And he's bloody. No helmet on. His name was Y.A. Tittle. Now, some of you nodding your heads. Some of you are still going, never heard of that guy, all right? But, hey, he was a quarterback. He quarterbacked for the San Francisco 49ers. He quarterbacked for the New York Giants. He was the league MVP at one time. 7 times he was a Pro Bowler. All right, 7 times. Today he's in the Hall of Fame. If you go there, you'll find his picture and the story of him, all right? But that picture that was taken of him really pictured the end for him. He didn't go out as a conference champion. He went out bloody, battered, broken, had a concussion. I mean, he had just been nailed. He didn't go out on top. I believe the child of God ought to seek to go out on top. Man, we ought to go out, finish strong, on top in the high places, all right? Now, you say, well, preacher, it's too late for me. I'm old. I'm not talking about physically. I'm not talking about you. You may not be at your peak physically, but you should be at your best spiritually. That's where you, when I'm talking about going out on top, I'm not talking about because you spent time in the gym, not against you going to the gym. I'm not against you drinking the protein drinks, working out and all of that stuff. But we're not talking about physical condition. I'm talking about your spiritual shape, all right? Man, we're to go out on top at our very best spiritually and go out on the high place and in our walk with God, very close to Him. Not, if you will. Now, wait a minute. Don't say, well, preacher, I'm going to try to judge it. And when I see the end approaching, I'm going to try to put that. No. I'm not talking about waiting until then to develop that relationship. I mean, that relationship ought to be developed and ought to be built over the years. If it's not good now, you ought to be working to make it good. You say, preacher, it's good right now. Good. You need to make it stronger and better and keep it that way as long as you can, because when the day comes that it's the end for you, you want to be able to go out on top, all right? I mean, not on the shelf as a castaway because of your sin, your selfishness, or even your stupidity. And I realize today there's people who get upset at that word stupidity. And a lot of them look at it as a strong word. But, hey, what else do you call it? When you know the truth, you've walked with God and you know what that's like, You've known his blessing, but you deliberately walk away from him. You deliberately turn your back because of willful disobedience. Now, I just can't figure out a better word than stupidity, all right? There's just not a better word to describe that. If you've had that walk and you know what it is to be close to God, you ought to be a desire in your heart to maintain that. You ought to want to finish. That's the way I want to finish. I want to go out on top. If I was a bowler, I would want to go out and retire right after I had bowled a 300 game. If I was a golfer, now I play golf, but I never claimed to be a golfer. If I was a golfer, I'd want to go out, walk away right after the hole in one. All right, man, I did it. Hole in one, I'm done. I'm out of here. You know, football player, if you're in the professional league, I'd go out on top, man, Super Bowl. And they come to you and say, you know, you say, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to Disney World. It'd be good. He said, what are you going to do? He said, I'm done, buddy. I quit. I'm out of here. I won. I'm going out on top. Hey, truth of the matter is, very few people do that. But there's not a reason in the world you and I as God's people can't go out on top. No reason we can't go out at the top of the game and in our very best relationship with him spiritually at the top. You can do that. But I want you to notice something else. Look at verse 22. Verse 22, it says, from the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. Verse 23, Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They fell united. United. I mentioned to you that photo of Y.A. Tittle. It shows him on a football field. I understand you. I really couldn't tell it from the picture, but the picture was taken. He was on his knees in the end zone, but not in victory. And a man after taking a terrific hit. But the thing that stands out, it's just him. There's nobody else. He is absolutely alone. Alone. Just him in that picture. Hey, we look at the lives of Saul and Jonathan, a dad and a son. You know the story and the history of the life. They had some differences. They had some big differences, especially regarding David. But the Bible said those two mighty men fell together. They fell together. You said, preacher, where are you going with that for application for us? How sad it is to see once mighty folks alone because they've alienated everyone around them. Just alienated everyone around them. Hey, they've run off those that had been their best friends. They ran them off, pushed them away, alienated folks. Man, what a terrible way to go out, all right? Terrible thing to do it. Maybe it was an attitude of bitterness or vindictiveness that leaves a lot of folks alone in life. Things don't go the way they plan, the way they figure, and they get bitter. Then once they get bitter, they don't want you to enjoy life either. And they'll become vindictive towards everybody else. Some of them, I think, they want to be able to say, like Elijah. Elijah said, I only am left of the prophets of God. Now God said, no, you aren't. But Elijah thought he was. And maybe sometimes you get that way, and you can get that way spiritually. Because you've allowed things to happen. Really, maybe the things that have happened, you've allowed them to affect you in ways they shouldn't affect you. And we've heard it said, we cannot handle, we cannot determine, we cannot change the circumstances of life. I can't, you can't either. But what I can change is how I react to those and how I handle those things. I don't have to let them destroy me. Don't have to let that happen. You said, well, I've, you know, there's been some things in life. It just wasn't fair. If you've only had a thing or two that wasn't fair, you've had a great life, all right? I mean, there's a lot of things that aren't fair in life. But you learn to just take it, all right? You learn to take it. I said in the introduction for this message, David is coming from the heart of a man that knows the Lord, and he knows how to accept them things and forgive and to move on. Because of that, it's important. Hey, when we can do that, it helps us not to wind up alone. Now, I don't know how you feel about it, all right? But I want to go out on top, but I don't want to go out alone. I want to go out with some trusted allies, some friends gathered around with me, you know? Somebody that says, I'm on his team, I'm on his side, I'm with him. I don't want to go out, you know, I don't want to get that attitude, it's just me. I'm the only one left. I know I'm not the only one left. And if you get in a point where you think you are the only one left, you won't be. I'm talking about serving God, all right? I'm talking about serving him. Don't get to that point where you think, well, I'm the only one still right. I'm the only one doing anything right. Don't get that feeling. It's not that way at all. Hey, these two, how are the mighty fallen? Hey, they fell united. They fell united. They went down together in battle here in the state of Texas. We remember. We almost brag. Maybe we do brag. About those fellows down there at the Alamo. They went down, but they went down together. They went down together, all right? They fell united. They didn't fall, you know, cutting each other to pieces. They fell united. United. You with me? Hey, look, we're not alone in this life. We're not alone in this life serving God. That's one of the good things about being able to gather together in the house of God. Because you realize, not alone. I'm not alone. There's some other like-minded believers. There's some other folks who love the Lord. I'm not the only one. God hasn't deserted me and left me. Hey, no, there's other folks out there. There's other folks in the battle. They're still there. Hey, these two, they fell in high places. They went out on top, if you will. They fell united. But you look at verse 25. This may be the most exciting part. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? They fell in battle. Amen. Fighting the good fight. Amen. Hey, they were fighting the right foe. They were fighting the Philistines, all right? They were fighting on the right side for the cause of right. They fell in battle with the Philistines. These folks were the enemies of God. They had been the enemies of God for years, and they continued to be the enemies of God. And Saul and Jonathan fell in battle with them, but they weren't on their side. They were opposing them, all right? They fell that way. Man alive, how good it is to be able to go out in battle. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for those that have given their lives while fighting for our country. I've read the stories of many of them. The ones that survive invariably say, don't call me a hero. Don't call me a hero. Those that have got that Medal of Honor draped around their neck would say, don't call me a hero. All right? They're not. You read their stories. I've got a book. It's about yay thick. That's got the Medal of Honor and commendation for everyone that won the Medal of Honor in World War II. And you go through those stories, and it's amazing what you read, but most of those men that won that medal were what we would call average men. But they did extraordinary things. So why'd they do it? They made a choice. They made a choice. I can't help but compare that to our Christian life. Okay? Compare it to our Christian life. You say, well, God didn't bless me with all that talent and all that ability. You know, sometimes you think of these, sometimes you have a tendency to think of Green Beret soldiers or Navy SEALs, those kind of folks, and you think of, man, you know, all this kind of thing. Now, they're usually pretty muscular, but they're not very big. I've seen a life-size in Branson, Missouri. There is a museum, and it's got 50 soldiers in that life-size sculpture. And each one of them are of a definite individual soldier that fought in World War II. And the amazing thing as I look at them is they weren't very big. They just weren't very big. Humanly speaking, I'd look at it and said, no wonder they survived. They weren't that big a target. All right, you know. So, but really, they weren't that big. They weren't big. They were just dedicated. And at some point in time, they made a decision. For whatever reason. But they made a decision. I'm going to fight. Those who won the Medal of Honor, they made a decision. I'm going to risk my life. Now, they might not have thought of it that way. But that's what the decision resulted in. In your Christian life, in serving the Lord Jesus Christ, can I say this to you? You don't have to say, well, I'll take 15 years of academic preparation and I'll go through. Look, it doesn't require that. It requires you to believe this book, to read this book, and take that book and put it into practice in your life. That's a choice. That's a choice. For years, I've worked with young people in some form or fashion. For better than 50 years. Either as the youth director at the church, here was that for 19 years, I believe it was. And or working with them in school or something along that line. And in all that time, I learned a long time ago, you cannot make that individual be spiritual. You can want them to be. You can pray for them to be. You can try to teach them and instruct them. But you cannot make somebody spiritual. I can't get up here and do anything and, you know, go through anything that would make each one of you be spiritual people, to have a great relationship with God. Cannot make you do that. That's choice. That's choice. You have to make that choice. And if you're going to go out on top, and if you're going to fall united, you have to make a choice that I'm going to go out in the battle. I'm going to go out in the battle. Now, I'll be honest, that's the way I want to leave this world. Now, not on the physical battlefield. I realize I'm no spring chicken anymore, all right? And if it came time to run and they were shooting, I just might as well stop and say, go ahead, all right? I couldn't dodge anything. But, hey, I do want to be on the battlefield for my Lord. I just want to be there on the battlefield. Man, years and years ago down in Florida, we had a family come and they sang. We had a youth meeting in our church and this family came. They were the Antone Indian family and they came and sang. And boy, my soul, could they ever more sing. And it wasn't long after we moved to Fort Worth and we had them come here on Terminal Road over there when the church was there. Man, Mrs. Antone had a voice. If you ever heard Vestal Goodman sing, I want to tell you, Mrs. Antone had a voice as great and as strong a voice as she did, all right? And man, she sang, they sang a song, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Man, I want to tell you, if that didn't stir your soul, bless God, you were dead, all right? And boy, I think about that. That would make you and encourage you to say, that's what I want to do. I want to go out on the battlefield. Now, not fighting other believers over personalities. I want to go out like that. And I know there's different people, different personalities. And sometimes you may not mesh real good. But it doesn't mean you got to fight them, okay? Doesn't mean we've got to fight them, no. Hey, the Lord used them where he will, how he will, and good. And boy, if they're doing the work of God, I'm for them. Go for it. Don't want to go out just fighting with other believers. What a sad thing. But I want to go out fighting the good fight of faith. That fight where Paul said, man, I fought a good fight, I've kept the faith. That's the fight. That's the way. Those mighty men, they died. They were fallen in the midst of the battle, all right? Fighting the devil and any and all of his minions. And man, he shows up in a lot of ways. And boy, I want to be sure that I go out on the cause of right. I want to be sure my stance is right. Okay? I want to be sure that my attitude is right in that thing. Okay? I don't want to just be honorary and hard to get along with. But I want to go out fighting on the cause of right against Satan, standing for the cause of right. Amen. Hey, on the right side of the battle. On the right side of the battle. Just want to stand out that way. Why? I want to do work for God. Don't work for him. The Bible said, how are the mighty fallen? How are the mighty fallen? In battle. Oh, yeah, in the midst of the battle. That's the way I want to go out. You said, well, preacher, my uncle used to say he wanted to die preaching. I don't want to die preaching, okay? I don't want to do that. I don't want to put that to the crowd and say, well, I thought he died a while ago anyway. I don't want to go out, don't want to die. My uncle said, I wanted to die reaching and taking the hand of somebody who just got saved. Not me, I'd fall on them, all right? We'd go out together, I guess, okay, kill that one. Hey, but I do want to go out in the battle. I want to go out still standing for the cause of right. He said, man, I can't do everything I used to could. Me either, but I can still do what I can do. Still do what I can do. I can still stand for right. I can still step up for the Lord. I can still say a word for him. I can still witness for him. I mean, hey, there's something we can do. Would you just consider yourselves just a little bit? Look, I promise you, I'm not preaching to you tonight to chew you out at all, but I would love to challenge you. Man, I would just love to challenge you to realize, hey, if I'm going to go out on top, then that means I've got to get on top of my relationship with the Lord right now. I need to get there. I need to make sure that my relationship with our God is what it ought to be. Songwriter said, nothing between my soul and the Savior. Shouldn't be anything between you and him. There ought to be a close relationship. That relationship can and should be developed. And by the way, you don't have to be saved for 25 years to have a close walk with God. Now, there's a lot of people been saved 35 years and don't have a close walk with God. It's not God's fault. It's that individual's fault. But we need to get on top of that. We need to be in that walk and say, that's what I want to have. And I'll never go out on top unless my relationship with the Lord is right. So I'm going to work to develop that and be in my Bible and prayer and obeying him. Everything I can find that he wants me to do, I want to be found doing it. Just doing what he wants. I want to surround myself with some like-minded folks. Why? Don't want to go out by myself, all right? Hey, it would be fine with me if the rapture occurred right during one of our services at church. Now, I'd feel sorry for any lost person that was there. My, how good it'd be to go together, wouldn't it? Good thing to be, all right? Hey, I need to get on and stay on the right side of the fight. In order to get on, I ought not to be the one that's having to be fought. Okay? I ought not to be the one that's got to be drugged to battle. Come on, you can do it. Or not have to be drugged in, or to be willing to say, I'm ready, let's go. I'll do whatever needs to be done. Hey, how are the mighty fallen? Boy, what a challenge that is for us. What a challenge it is. Now, I realize tonight that we can look at this scripture and we can take the negative view. And we can emphasize everything that David overlooked. in the life of Saul. But I want to remind you, David knew he was the Lord's anointed. And he never lost track of that. Okay? In verse 21, I'll take you back there and we're done. Ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offerings. For there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away, the shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. But David knew he had been. David knew he had been. Hey, look, can you and I just decide, man, I'm gonna do my best. I'm gonna do my best to go out on top. On top. The mighty, not mighty in muscle, not mighty in physical strength, but mighty as a child of God, sold out to serve God with the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit leading in our lives, that we might go out. If we go down, let's go down in battle. On the right side, for the right cause, for the right reason, standing against the wickedness and the vileness of this old world and the devil. God, help us to do it. Heavenly Father, would you help us tonight? Lord, help us to be challenged a little bit by the life and these passages of Scripture here.